You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We've got a breaking story that basically burner accounts scooped Woj and Shams on involving the favorite team of one Mike Schur. Ime Udoka is in trouble and facing, it would appear, a one-year suspension for what is being reported now, because the reporting on this has been interesting to watch how it's happened. Woj's initial report was, I didn't know whether he had killed a coworker or the initial report made me think he had done something wrong, but there were no specifics on what the wrong was. And now it's
a violation of team rules as it was posed. And then Shams provided a lot of detail overnight, and now Woj has advanced his story yet again with this news of an impending suspension.
Killed a coworker would be more than a year.
It was just that vague, though. The initial report was so vague that I did not know what had happened.
It's still vague, though. All that we know is that there was an inappropriate relationship with a coworker.
Mike, you have seen. We'll get to
He could get away with Peyton Pritchard. I'm sorry.
We'll get to the stat of the day in a second, but as you received this news and the way it trickled down, to me, the way it trickled down is just as interesting as the news itself, but you processed all of it how, Mike, as it's a breaking story right now and there's more information coming in?
It was coming at me through two channels, I would say. One is just sports fans and text threads with people who follow sports, and the other was through the Boston sports fan thread, and they had very different tenors, I would say. But the sleuthing was pretty easy, because the fact that it was the Celtics and not the league that was doing the punishment, which was the first tweet that Woj put out, meant, okay, it's not gambling. It's not, you can rule a bunch of things out because they would be league punishments, tampering, anything like that. So it became pretty obvious that he was either something related to a sexual relationship of some kind or something super weird where there's a rule internally that you can't make fun of Peyton Pritchard's shorts, and he did, and he got suspended. But these are always sexual issues. It's either harassment, something Robert Sarver-y, toxic work environment, or a consensual relationship that was inappropriate with a subordinate. That seems to be what it does, I think. That's the most recent reporting. And I suppose that I would say that in the realm of bad things for someone to do who's in a position of power, this is at least doesn't appear at this point to be anything violent or unwanted. It at least appears to be, the word consensual was used, which is like a small relief, I guess, because it means that it wasn't a toxic work environment.
And not criminal.
Yeah, exactly. But of course, then you have to start asking yourself, well, what does consensual mean when the person's in a position of power? That's always the problem, right? Is you say it's a consensual relationship, but it's like, well, that guy basically runs the day-to-day operations of the entire franchise. How consensual was it? Who knows? This is why this stuff sucks. It's because you're left with more questions than you have answers.
Yeah, I think we should be careful to like grade it on any sort of scale without knowing more about it, and we don't know if other coworkers were affected by it or made uncomfortable by it. We don't know the power dynamic, like you said. We don't know where the inappropriate behavior occurred, if it was at work, if it was in private. Like, we don't know any information on it. All we know is, quote, consensual relationship with a coworker.
One of the reasons I find the reporting interesting is that you're not allowed a slow trickle on news. Woj got to it first with some vagueness that raises more questions. Now everyone's sniffing around. Everyone wants more details. It's famous coach. And it's not going to be long. It's probably already happened. wait a minute, what do you mean a year for a consensual relationship when Deshaun Watson hasn't gotten a year for a whole bunch of not consensual relationships? A lot of people, as sports tries to do the math on this, and we don't have all the facts on what is true, people are going to jump to conclusions without all the facts.
Yeah, and also, like Jessica's saying, like you don't even when the reporting comes out, you don't know what really happened, and you may never if they decide not to do any kind of giant investigation. And you're also talking about a moment where on the same day this broke, the Suns owner is selling his team because because of the investigation that was launched against his behavior. Now, this sure doesn't seem like anything close to what Robert Sarver did. But you, if you're the Celtics, you can understand why whatever this is, you need to get ahead of it. You need to be swift and decisive, and you need to, like, a year-long suspension, even if it is truly consensual, even if these were two consenting adults who decided to enter into a sexual relationship and there was zero uncomfortable feelings and it was completely private and nobody else even knew about it and the power dynamic didn't come into play. You're talking about a league that is currently having one of its owners sell his team because of a league investigation. And so that's, I think, why the Celtics were so quickly like, we're dealing with this, we're ahead of it, we're going to suspend him, because they don't want anything even remotely in the ballpark of what happened with the Phoenix Suns.
Amin El-Hassan is going to join us as a former Suns employee later this hour to talk about everything Sarver related that we have not talked about, as Sarver is now selling his team. I want to go through, again, this is the closest thing to Silver that we have seen. I guess Jerry Richardson is in the ballpark, but he's
Donald Sterling. Sterling,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes, Donald Sterling is what I meant. Those are totally different things, Donald Sterling and Adam Silver. but an owner has essentially, it seems like, been forced to sell his team. And that doesn't happen very often. We're going to get to that with Amin El-Hassan in a second, but let's do the stat of the day here with Mike Schur.
Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day.
Folks, yesterday I announced a new feature for Stat of the Day, which is 90s Baseball Wednesdays. Well, guess what, everyone? It's a special Thursday edition of 90s Baseball Wednesday here on Stat of the Day.
Yes. Excited. Let's
but
go.
This is going to backfire on him because he's actively trying to get fired, and it's titillating us. We want to make the whole show. He's actively trying to get out of this job, and we're just going to give him longer and longer segments to talk about our favorite thing.
90s Baseball Wednesday here on a special Thursday edition. Here's your stat. Tony Gwynn had more games with four hits than he had games with multiple strikeouts.
Get out of here.
45 four-hit games, according to StatMuse, and only 34 games in which he struck out more than one time. And since this is a special Thursday edition of 90s Baseball Wednesday, here on Stat of the Day on the Dan Le Batard Show with Two Guts, I'm now going to read for you the leaders of two strikeout games in the decade of the 1990s. So these are the guys who had the most games with at least two strikeouts as hitters in the 1990s. Before, here we go. Before, are you ready?
Before you do that, though, could Tony Gwynn even play today? Because they
slap hitter.
All they want is home runs, not guys that don't strike out.
I was going to ask the same thing. Like, how would he play? Would he have to? He would have to change his approach, right? He'd have to go from.
No, he would not. I would disagree. I would say that Tony Gwynn would be one of the only hitters who would succeed because they can't shift on him. He hit the ball to every field. He hit it to left. He hit it down both lines. He hit it into the gaps. Like, they can't take hits away from you when you are Tony Gwynn and you spray the ball all over the field. Same with Ichiro. Ichiro could hit.
But what about in his development, like coming up through the farm system? They'd probably tell him you got to hit for more power.
They would say that in batting practice, Ichiro, if he decided to hit 240, that he could have hit 40 home runs a season. I never heard that said about Gwynn.
I don't think it's true about Gwynn, but I think the point is that when you are as good a hitter as Tony Gwynn is, they'll find a place for you. Don't worry about it. Tony Gwynn would have been fine. Okay, here we go.
I want to guess.
Here's a list of hitters.
I'd like to guess.
No, All right. All right.
I mean, this is a fun game.
I have a list of, let me count. It's like the top probably 25 guys who struck out more than once in a game in the 1990s.
So
Go ahead.
It's the entire decade of the 90s, which, because I have a guess, but they played kind of in the late 90s, and they might have had enough to make it.
I'm thinking Jeremy Burnett is definitely on that list.
I was going to go with any former Indian prospect. I was going to go Richie Sexson. Richie Sexson is my guess.
Ray Lankford.
Ooh. Ray Lankford is on the list. That's the first one you got.
Good job.
Is Mark Whitten on the list?
Hard hitting.
Mark Whitten is not on the list. No.
How great that the list is. Does every name on this list make you smile? Does it fill you
absolutely
with delight? How does your wife?
And it also, by the way, every single one has a nickname that's sitting there waiting for you guys to pick.
How does your wife feel about how much you love these things and how
she's? Couldn't care less.
But the obsession with them, that she couldn't care less, but her husband loves something that she doesn't care about at all.
Yeah, but it's shameful. I do it behind closed doors. I keep her out of it. She doesn't deserve to be tainted by this habit of mine.
If she caught Mike Schur with his 11 p.m. Friday night likes, what she would find is my hard-hitting Mark Whitten.
That's right.
Danny Tartable has to be on the list somewhere.
Tartable is on the list.
Wow.
Well done.
Wow. Didn't look it up.
What about Ruben Sierra?
Ooh.
Ruben Sierra.
Are we just going to guess them all?
Do you not know what our show is?
Is Rob Deere 280s?
Rob Deere's 280s. No way Rob Deere's on this
list. Are we ruining this list?
Yeah. McGuire?
Give us the list. Yes, is the short
McGuire's
answer.
McGuire's on the list.
Wow, yes. Big Mac. Yeah. Wait,
Sosa on the list?
Sosa's number one.
Oh, all right. Wow. This is fun.
You're missing an obvious number, too. Strikeouts, hitter, 1990s.
Early or late?
Canseco?
There you go. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you for the helpful visual aid of a drawing of a fly ball going for a home run on Jose Canseco's head. What are you going to do? How many of these are you going to do? You're just going to name them all?
Please do.
Yeah. I'm going to name them all.
To try and get
Dan,
fired. He's trying to get
I'm
fired.
I'm trying to get fired.
You're going to get promoted.
I'm ready to fire him.
Yeah, you will.
I know. Jessica's so bored. Here we go. Here's the list. Sammy Sosa. Jose Canseco, number three, Jay Buhner, Bone. Bone is number three. Number four, Cecil Fielder.
You're moving too fast.
Cecil.
Cecil Fielder.
Number five, Greg Vaughn. Number six, Mo Vaughn.
Ah, the Vaughns.
Number seven, Ray Lankford.
Double the Vaughns, cutting it up. Ray Lankford.
Number eight, Dean Palmer.
Tigers. Oh, my God.
Rangers.
Travis Fryman.
Wow.
Good name.
Andres Galarraga.
Big Cats.
There you go.
I wish
Mark
we would
McGuire's
move on
next
from this segment.
Oh.
Devon White.
Wow. Devo.
Just fade him out
Tony
slowly.
Tony Phillips.
Fade him out slowly, Mike.
Tony Phillips is such a great one.
Devon White.
Doing names, just slowly fade out his microphone.
Jay Bell. Reggie Sanders.
Oh, my God.
Fred McGriff.
Prime Dog.
Mickey Tettleton.
Tets.
Ron Gant.
I don't know.
We had Verducci on earlier, and he started calling him Dooch.
Matt Williams.
MVP.